The fragmentation of the West is the single most alarming fact about world affairs, says former UK Foreign Secretary William Hague. Speaking exclusively to IBA Global Insight, Lord Hague offers a candid assessment of the state of the world today, from the Trump presidency and relations with Russia, to developments in the Middle East, the continuing rise of China, and the future of Europe. Lord Hague served as UK Foreign Secretary from 2010 to 2014, a period that took in historic moments, including the announcement of the Brexit referendum and Parliament's vote against intervention in Syria. He begins by considering the major cracks in relations between Western powers and the need for unity and cohesive action.
There are serious ruptures in the Western alliance, as President Trump's decision about the Iran deal has just shown. But there are many other policy areas where the West has still shown strong unity in recent years, such as tackling ISIS in Syria and Iraq. When it has come to the showdown with Russia over the attempted murder in Wiltshire recently, nearly 30 countries joined in expelling undeclared intelligence officers or Russian diplomats from their countries. So we're still capable of quite a lot of unity and cohesive action. And I think a responsible country tries to enlarge that, the areas. But of course it is an uphill struggle at the moment. There is a fragmentation of the West going on, and it is the most alarming single fact about world affairs.
The UK's withdrawal from the European Union following the Brexit vote will also be a blow to Western unity, says Hague.
There is definitely a short-term cost to leaving the EU. What it means in the long term, we can debate. And it depends what we do in this country. But definitely it is an additional fragmentation of the Western world. It reduces our influence over European foreign policy overall, and I think that's one of the biggest disadvantages of it. So, and it's the main reason I was against leaving the EU, even though I'm not an enthusiast for many aspects of the European Union. I thought it was better and more pragmatic and better for the unity of the Western world to stay in.
Hague goes on to assess the Trump presidency, including the US pulling out of the Iran deal and thawing relations with North Korea.
It is disruptive, you know, to end up with the foreign ministers of Europe sitting down with Iran to work out how to save a deal in opposition to the United States is a pretty bad situation. And so, and on that and on some aspects of trade, it is disruptive. Like many things in the political and diplomatic world, however, it is a mixed picture. There is a deal to be done with North Korea. Mm-hmm. President Trump has been successful in creating some of the conditions for that. And if Trump produces a greater willingness by America's allies to contribute to their defense, that would be a good development too, because it's certainly true that many countries have relied excessively on the United States for their defense since the end of the Cold War. So there are still positive things that can happen in the Western alliance, but overall the trend is depressing.
Developments in the Middle East are also examined by Hague, starting with the controversial decision by the US to move its embassy to Jerusalem.
It's a big mistake to the United States to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Another big rupture with other countries. It doesn't help solve issues in the Middle East, quite the contrary. I think that is a retrograde step, and I think now it's very hard to see a viable Middle East peace process at all. And that will be a problem in the next 10, 20 years. That will only produce even greater problems in the Middle East. Syria, it would be alarming if the United States pulled all remaining forces out of Syria now that ISIS has been, for now, militarily defeated, because it's important to try to shape the future of Syria. We are seeing a realignment in the Middle East in which some leading Arab states and Israel move much closer together, that their strategic and economic interests are converging in a kind of anti-Iranian axis. So it is a more complex shift going on. And change in Saudi Arabia could be a positive thing in world affairs and in and certainly economically as well. The rapid pace of social and political change in Saudi Arabia. So again, it's not a universally catastrophic picture, but it is a picture of going backwards more than forwards.
The geopolitical risks facing business are outlined by the former Foreign Secretary.
For business, a key point is there is more geopolitical risk here than for the last 20 years, really. This is that geopolitical risk to business is the highest in this century so far, although we're only 18 years into the century. And that can be reflected in developments like Brexit or the US renegotiating NAFTA or putting tariffs on steel and aluminium. Or some radical change of government, as in Italy, to a combination of parties not seen before. And that could happen in any European country. So all of these things can particularly have an impact on particular business sectors and mean that the economic policy of a country is no longer the same as the neighboring country, and which is not a situation we've been used to in Europe and the West. In general. So heightened political risk that requires more local knowledge and understanding in businesses, more resilience to unpredictable developments. And we're almost certainly closer to the next recession than we are to the last one.
He also considers the challenges presented by President Putin's Russia.
We always have to work with Russia. They are a permanent member of the Security Council, and so are we. And we can't solve any of the world's political issues without working on a daily basis in New York with Russia. But it has made it very difficult that Russia is so behaves in a way in Syria or Ukraine that we don't regard as acceptable in international affairs. And really carries on as if the Cold War was still going on. It would be amazing if Russia hadn't played some role, some supportive role, in elections and referenda across Europe in a direction that promoted fragmentation of the of Europe, including in the Brexit referendum and the Italian referendum in later that year, and various elections across Europe.
Haig reflects too on China's remarkable global expansion.
Economic transformation of China is the main event in our lifetimes so far. And this looks likely to continue, but now with more of a military and political weight developing to go with the economic weight. Of course, this means there is a danger of a return to great power rivalry in world affairs. And therefore, the relationship between China and the United States is the single most important foreign policy relationship in the world, we should all hope that while that will necessarily be a mixture of cooperation and rivalry, that the areas of cooperation can be enlarged, particularly on climate change and on a rules-based international system. But that should not stop us raising human rights cases. It shouldn't mean that we abandon long-standing positions in foreign policy. It's important to have a balanced approach in the Asia-Pacific area. These other Asia-Pacific countries are important as well.
Turning to the European Union, Haig cast doubt on its future.
It is diminished by Brexit, unfortunately. It loses 12% of its population, and the biggest financial centre in the world, and its biggest military budget, its biggest development budget, and so on. There's a long list. But it's not its biggest problem. I think migration is the greatest challenge of the EU, because that's what's changing the politics of many countries. Being able to secure its borders and pursue an enlightened approach to Africa and the Middle East, encouraging development, and intervening sensibly where necessary, as we have done in Somalia with a mixture of military, economic, development, political measures. this is the way forward. Otherwise, the strain on European unity from migration is going to become overwhelming, mm-hmm. I think. So I think the European Union has a very difficult future.
Yes.
And Brexit is only one part of a possibly a slow disintegration.
Haig weighs up whether there's a crisis in democracy and the rule of law.
While there are a lot of negative trends, we mustn't get too downcast because positive things do happen. When you look at political change recently in Malaysia or South Africa or Colombia establishing a successful peace, or the change we've been talking about in Saudi Arabia, you know, there is a lot of positive change alongside the negative trends, and a lot of that change does more successfully establish rights and or fight against corruption or and so on. So it's not hope, we should not give up on these things. Liberal democracy is in trouble and a rules-based international system is under challenge. Whether it's yet a crisis, I don't know, but it's heading that way. But I'm saying it's not hopeless. There are hundreds of millions of people, as they've shown in many countries recently, who are prepared to stand up for transparency, law, reason, democracy. And as long as there's that, all is not lost.